Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. This is Teddy Mellencamp, and I'm joined by my friend Emily Simpson for our new spinoff show, Popping Off, where we are digging deep on this season of Vanderpump Rules.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Popping Off with myself, Teddy Mellencamp,
and Emily Simpson. Thanks for joining us.
We are so excited because today we have Katie Maloney on. Not only has she been so good this season and brought us so much entertainment, we just saw yesterday that she just did a deal with Chili's, shaking up the popular espresso martini and putting its own spin on the cocktail, swapping vodka for reposado tequila and rum to elevate the drink's flavors. I was like wondering why we didn't have one for today's pod.
I know. Someone failed us there.
We could have really gotten the juice.
Someone should give me tequila before I start asking questions.
Yeah, we should. At 9 a.m., I feel like that's
why not?
Right out of hot yoga, I'll have it with my Starbucks. I would have been fine. I would have been like, ah! But to help introduce its espresso martinis, Chili's partnered with beloved reality star Sheena Shea and Katie Maloney, who know a thing or two about cocktails. I thought the ads for it were super funny and cute. While Sheena, a former Chili's waitress, knew guests would enjoy sipping on an espresso martini just as much as she does, Katie brought the tequila expertise. Reality television and cocktail lovers can find Chili's espresso martini in select restaurants nationwide now. This started April 15th. I've got a Chili's right down the street. Can you ask?
I do too. I have a Chili's right down the street too.
And you know what? I was also thinking this was a missed opportunity for Gina. Wasn't she at Chili's, or did I make that up?
No. Okay. Did you just bring up Chili's and Gina? You are so shady.
I'm not even being shady.
No, people on Twitter like say crappy stuff about her that has to do with Chili's.
Oh, she didn't actually work there as a teenager?
No. No. Now you need to apologize.
I actually promise I thought that she worked at Chili's as a young kid, and that's where that joke came from. I wouldn't have. Oh, Gina,
yes.
In this moment, I really did believe you once worked at Chili's, which I used to work at the local pizza place near my place that did not, unfortunately, serve these espresso martinis, but
She actually was a flight attendant, and she's very worldly.
Well, you know what? I'm not that worldly. I'm not worldly or worldly.
You're not worried. Well, you're wordy.
I'm wordy, but there's no L.
Wordy.
There's no L. So now we are having Tequila Katie joining us.
Katie, how did you get that nickname? What happens when you're Tequila Katie? Is that like your alter ego?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's been so many years. I think it was just like, you know, a little too much tequila and sober.
I get it. Cause I feel like there's a Tequila Emily. Absolutely. Like there's like the reasonable, rational attorney Emily. And then I do some shots of tequila and I'm ready to just everybody up. So
I wish I could blame tequila for any of my behavior, but it's
okay.
It could be a Starbucks.
Yeah.
But okay, to ease you kind of into the questions, the first thing that we wanted to ask about was going into season 11, what was the vibe like? Because there was so much talk that the season prior, you guys were going to be in trouble and there was going to be issues and like Scandoval was needed in order to keep Vanderpump Rules going. Mm-hmm. Do you believe any of that?
No, I don't believe that necessarily. No. I think there's always something that's going to pop off or going to happen. I think every year there's like, there's an element of like, well, how do we, you know, like what's going to happen next? Or, you know, like there's like this sort of like come down from the previous season and like everyone just is trying to like let the dust settle a little bit. And then we're like, all right, well, like there's nothing left in us possible, you know? But I mean, obviously last season and what happened after the fact was just completely out there. I think this season we were just kind of, there wasn't enough life lived, I think.
Yeah.
So I think there was just a lot of fractures that it was just kind of like, okay, well, how do we go into this? How do we be around each other in a way that feels mm-hmm. natural or normal? That mm-hmm. was more that attitude, I think.
And were you guys going into it expecting that Rachel was going to return, or were you shocked that she didn't?
We had no idea. No one had heard from her or talked to her. Like, we didn't really know like what she was doing or where she was. There was a lot of rumors. We had heard that potentially she might. We know that she talked to producers a little bit, but no one really knew what her plans were. So ultimately when she decided not to, it was just kind of like, all right, well, that's her choice. She's got to do what's best for herself. But yeah, I don't think anyone really knew what was going to happen.
What would you have wanted to happen? I mean, if you had the choice, what do you think? And taking emotions out of it, maybe from a logical standpoint or a show standpoint, do you think it would have been better for her to film or not film?
I mean, I think in a lot of weird, messed up ways, you know, it forces conversations. It forces closure or not. You know, sometimes you don't always get the closure, but I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I understand from a mental health perspective, not wanting to put yourself in those positions or put yourself in the environment that you don't feel is good for you. But given...
I was going to say, did you go on Instagram today by chance?
What's on Instagram? I didn't. What's on Instagram?
She is just being eaten alive about discussing the show, showing clips of the show, then showing clips of the interview. And I was talking to Emily about this. Like, if you...
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, if you really want to clear your mental health, why are you throwing it all over social media?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing. If she was really just going to completely just fade away and just want nothing to do with it and not come back into, you know, the scene at all, I get that. But the fact that there's, you know, podcasts and recaps mm-hmm. and constantly just revisiting everything that's happened, I think, yeah, you should just come back to the show and
have... Well, it's almost unfair that she does it from a safe space. Like, she inserts herself into the show and comments on the show, but she does it from behind a screen, you know, from a safe podcast perspective. Do you see it like that? That's kind of how I view it.
I mean, yeah, I don't necessarily see it from like a safe space, but I see it from a way that it's just kind of like, it's a bit cowardly.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I just think she should have just came and said what she had to say, talked to the people she needed to talk to. I mean, I don't think she would have had to come back and fully immerse herself, but at least just said what she had to say. I don't know. I mean, just at this point, with given everything that's gone down, may as well.
Yeah. Can I talk? Both of you guys are big dog lovers. Of course, I love dogs mm-hmm. as well. And something that I do, and I may get kind of in trouble for saying this, but when it comes to pets or it comes to dogs, I mm-hmm. feel like there is something where people that realize they're no longer in a mental situation where they can properly take care of their animal. They are so scared to properly rehome them or properly admit that they are not capable of doing it, that then that's when we hear these stories that then played out on Vanderpump Rules or it played out on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, what do you guys think needs to happen if you have a dog and you can't take care of it? And like, I just feel like people do it because they're scared. And then what they end up doing is so much worse than what they could have done.
I don't know. It doesn't even make sense to me. My dog is literally right next to me right now. You know, he likes to jump on me while I'm doing this. But I just can't fathom having an animal and not. And if there was some reason I couldn't take care of it, I would make sure that like someone in my family took it or a friend or I don't know. I just can't imagine the whole just dropping it off and not knowing what happens. Like that would never happen in my world.
Yeah. I think we all have those people in our lives that care about our animals as much as we do, and that they would know what to do more than we could in that moment. I don't think that I would ever resort to that. I think I would rather they go live with, you know, or at least have someone that I know and trust cares for them, that, you know, really care, that just knows what to do. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. I mean, do you think that Graham or Hippie was an attempt by LVP to get Rachel back on the show?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think it was already, I don't think that was going to do it.
Yeah. You're like, no, it was already too far gone. I mean, I had two French bulldogs and they were amazing, but my little brother lives on a farm and he was like, I've always wanted these dogs. I love them. I think I could give them a better life. And they are his best friends. They live, like, he sends me pictures every day. And it was a situation where I was like, you know what? He would do a better job than I'm doing. And I feel okay with saying that. Has Hippie seemed like a problematic animal in your experience since he's been back?
Since he's been back? No, I mean, I think he's adjusting really well. From what in the last update I got from James and Allie is that now, like, with the cats, he's doing really well. Cause I was at first like that was kind of concerned. They had to keep them separate, but now he's acclimated really well to being around the cats and everything. So, I mean, things are going well. So.
And can you give us a little tea on the sandwiches, something about her? Because we had like people on the ground driving by. We're like, what is going on? Where are the sandwiches? Why
can't actually, Katie, we're hoping that you do another sandwich tasting and you invite us. That's really what we're hoping for.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be sandwich tasting. That's really all it is.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good thing. You could just charge for tickets and it'll be a thing.
I know. I see those same things of people driving by. They're like, it's empty. Nothing's going to be here. It's empty. And I'm just like, that's not it. Yeah. I mean, obviously if it was just solely up to us and in our hands, we would have opened by now, but, it's not easy. And there's a lot of, work that you have to do and permits. And it's not just like going and like filing an application. It's, you know, you have to file an application and a lot of it involves the fire department and then this department and getting them to come out and do the proper inspections takes a lot of time. And then then if you have to correct anything, then that takes time. And sometimes it's ordering new equipment or new parts. And so it's just a lot of waiting game and just time that it takes. But we're now.
Are you paying rent? Are you paying rent monthly? So every month that it's not open, you're still paying the rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But now that we have everything we need, it's just now we're like in our hiring and training phase and just the final like touches on everything. So we're like really in the home stretch now.
Do you have an anticipated opening date? Yes,
you do.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. We hope you have a grand opening with a sandwich tasting and we hope we get invited to it.
It won't be a tasting. It'll just be full-on sandwich.
Oh, so we'll buy some sandwiches.
Well, you know what? We'll splurge on some sandwiches. We heard a rumor that there is going to be a ghost kitchen on Uber Eats, which is actually ideal for me because I don't like going anywhere. Is that actually happening?
Another rumor, I don't know where it came from. You know, I know a lot of people do that, but, you know, I think that would just be very inconsistent, because it would be, I saw something, it was going to be ghost kitchens across the country, and I'm like, that wouldn't work.
Ah, and
not like a Subway where it's just like, no offense, but I mean, like, you know, we're,
well, you're trying to make an elevated sandwich that's like a gourmet sandwich. So it's not like a something that would be a franchise is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, you mean you're not going to blow sandwich smell from the outer edges of something about her? So when people walk by, they get an overwhelming Subway smell?
Cold cuts, just great. Yeah.
Salami.
And a lot of people, they want to know details about Penny.
I can't, I'm not going to, no.
Okay, but is Penny still there?
No, we're not working with Penny any longer.
I kind of can feel that writing on the wall. I feel like Penny was trying to take control in its old place.
You know, I mean, we loved like working with Penny, and Penny was great, but it just ultimately wasn't the right fit.
Yeah. Do you think Penny just wanted to be on television?
No, I bet he's great on TV.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think caused you and Ariana to get so close after Scandoval? Did you feel like you could relate to her in a different way, or just you wanted to be there for her in her time of need? Or like, what exactly do you think?
I mean, there's a lot of things. I think I could relate to her in a lot of ways. And I did want to be there for her. I mean, it was crushing.
Yeah.
What she went through. I just, like, my heart, like, aches for her. I saw her just in just complete despair, and just what she went through and what those, you know, two put her through, just the lying, and she trusted them so implicitly and denied and had their backs when anyone tried to say anything otherwise. And so I think she just felt like just so betrayed. So I, you know, really wanted to be there for her. And I think also, we always really did get along, but our friendship couldn't quite get off the ground because, you know, Tom Sandoval really didn't like me. And he would always tell her, you know, be careful of Katie. He really kind of drove a wedge between us. So once he was removed.
Do you think he didn't like you because you're smart and you're aware? Like, out of everybody, I feel like you sit back and watch what happens. And I think you've gotten your.
She's like a sniper. I love it. I do that too. I'm like a sniper in a tree.
I love when Emily compliments herself.
I'm like that too.
Perhaps I just, because I don't let him, he likes to kind of steamroll and manipulate people, whether he agrees with that's what he does or not. I see it as that. He wants to be the one, you know, calling the shots, making decisions, saying how it's going to be. And I don't agree with that. Like, we have very opposing personalities. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Rachel insinuated that many of you knew about this prior. Did anybody really know? I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
There was suspicious behavior. Like, I mean, and Allie called it out. Like, they were at the Abbey dancing and she's like, that's weird. And everyone said no. So if that was an indication of people knowing, she didn't bring that up. I mean, there were people that knew. She didn't mention that Joe knew.
Yeah, oh, I was going to ask that. Did Joe know? And did you?
That, what you're talking about on that podcast where she's like, yeah, started listing the names of people that knew, she never mentioned Joe in that. And Joe absolutely 100% knew. She just brought up people that, like, she assumed knew because there were weird. Yeah.
Does anyone care what Joe knows and Joe doesn't know? Because I surely doubt.
Joe, come on, Joe's a character.
I felt like there was something off about the closeness of their friendship, and I saw stuff like that was going on, but without concrete proof and evidence or something, you know, there was no way to actually know, and they were never going to admit to it, and Ariana wasn't going to believe it, so there needed to be real true evidence.
Right. Do you think, and just an honest, logical opinion, do you think Sandoval's shown any growth over the past year at all?
No.
None. I mean, I love the honesty.
I will say that I did do an interview right at the beginning with Tamara, actually, before Emily and I started popping off. We did it on 2 Teas in a Pod. And I got to say, both the Toms charmed us. Mm-hmm. Like, we both bought it hook, line, and sinker.
I believe I told you that.
You did tell me that. But can I blame the tequila? Because I think we were at a Patron event.
You know, they are charming. Like, that's, you know, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know.
You know, what do you think about this? I saw this on Facebook, like, someone wrote this, and I thought it was really interesting. They said that Tom Schwartz is just as bad as Tom Sandoval, but he wraps it in, like, an endearing type of personality, so he gets away with things more. Like, because he has kind of that endearing, quirky personality that, you know, he doesn't look as guilty or as bad as Sandoval.
I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily as bad or worse, and maybe in varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Tom Schwartz, he doesn't really take accountability for things. He doesn't really understand where he goes wrong in certain situations, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a frustrating thing. So he kind of just, like, floats by.
He's either a puppy dog, or then he'll say things like, I mean, there's things he said to you in the past that I can't even believe. And you always, and then it would be turned around that you were the one to take the blame for it when clearly he was in the wrong.
Mm.
But there are still moments where I watch you guys and you can still see there is that softness there. Do you think that will be there forever? Do you think that's all people that have gotten divorced? Like, there is, you guys,
or are you just tolerating him because you're on a show together?
No, I mean, like, of our time on the show, you saw so much like really bad between us, because that might be just more interesting to watch. But we, I mean, obviously we were together for a really long time for a reason. And because we did have a lot of love and there was a really great friendship between us, we did enjoy each other. And I think you're seeing what that was a little bit more now, even if it is not necessarily romantic anymore, but we did have a really great friendship and we did enjoy each other and laugh together and poke fun. And so I think we're able to kind of just have that with each other now, even if we're not like friends, like great friends anymore. It's just when we're around each other, there's,
I actually enjoy the two of you together in scenes. I find you entertaining because you can see that comfort level between the two of you. But can I ask you, do you feel like his treatment of Joe was bad? Like when you, I know you're not particularly fond of her, but when you see that.
But she just offended Joe. You just offended him when Joe called him an F boy, right?
Yeah, I said the similar thing to him because that's the thing. This is where I get into like the whole like not wanting to be fully accountable for the things that he says and does, because I had a conversation with him as well, because he was like, I told her like I, you know, didn't really want a relationship. I'm like, yeah, but saying one thing and doing another is very different. You might have been saying that to her, sort of, maybe, but then when you're calling her and asking her to hang out all the time and
sleeping together,
stay at your house. Yeah, yeah.
And did he say I love you to her? Is that true?
I don't, that I, she says that, he says he's not really confirmed that. I don't know. But I just said, I'm like, you gave her a very different vibe with your actions and also probably with your words as well. So, you know, I think it's possible that you let her on, but also maybe that she, listen, I've accepted crumbs myself. So I don't want to fully blame myself, but I do have to take a little bit of responsibility for allowing myself to be, you know.
I've accepted crumbs as well. I mean, it happens and it's all part of growth and realizing. But something that Joe, I mean, other than I think Joe's trying to sabotage with the blonde hair, something
we thought that was on purpose. So he looks, well, I was so like, she's really bad during that dating thing.
But I was curious because towards the beginning of the season, Joe did this post where she talked about how he was her best friend and all of these things. And now she's on Rachel's podcast with a completely different story. What is that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that post was wild.
Yeah.
But I feel like the getting on the podcast and it's like, you know, that like meme where it's like two besties sitting, you know, telling each other exactly. It's like those things, it's like them hyping each other up, and that, you know, Joe could probably feel very content and about the situation, but then she gets around somebody else and being like, that's crazy, you shouldn't feel that way, and then get her kind of riled up about it in a completely different way, you know?
So unlike you, she can be easily swayed by whoever she's around. But do you think a big part of it is that she just wants to be on Vanderpump Rules? Because that whole scene with Lala, where she's like, I just want to be in the group.
Wait, Teddy, can you imitate Joe, please? Can you show Katie?
What do you mean? And then you're like, like, I can't. Why? Why does the lip have to go like that? And it makes me feel anxious.
I mean, I don't know. Listen, I don't.
She has no response. She's like, oh, God.
She's like, I don't know how to respond to this.
But I'm scared too. I'm scared to laugh. Like, cause I, you know, I do one Instagram comment and it lives in infamy. Yeah. Why would you come on the show, period, if you don't want to come on the show? I don't know. She's trying to make it like her, you know, full-time thing. I'm not sure.
What do you think of Schwartz's new girlfriend? Because we were talking about her yesterday. We saw a photo of her and we thought she looked 11, maybe 12.
Well, I mean, she's a young gal.
Katie's very diplomatic. I love it.
Katie's like, well, she still wears her uniform to school, but other than that,
she's like, she's of legal age, guys.
No, I mean, listen, I'm not an ageist per se.
Do you think Schwartz has to date younger women so that, I don't know, so that they're easier manipulated? Like, he can't date a 40-year-old woman. They wouldn't deal with that crap.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's something there, perhaps. First of all, I want him to be happy, and if he's happy, great. But I think, you know, and again, I think people can meet someone and they can be significantly younger and it can work out. However, you know, I think sometimes when someone is that young, they still have a lot of life experience to have. And I mean, from the time I was 23 to 26, I changed. From the time I was 26 to the time I was 30, I completely changed. So like, you know, there is that to be said. Doesn't mean she's not lovely or whatever, but I think he's used to refer to her as being an old soul. And then I watched the Nikki Teaser thing where she was talking about old souls. And they're like, the only time they referred to a girl in her 20s being an old soul is when something traumatic happened to her. And she shouldn't be dating a man in his 40s. She should be talking to a woman in an office about what happened to her and why she's attracted to men that look like they could be her uncle.
Yeah, that sounds like a daddy complex.
The old soul thing is a little wild to me because that is true.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we talk about the girl that both you and Schwartz potentially dated? I really need to know. I mean, I guess we'll see as this plays out, but I need to know if you go on another date with her, because after the painting date, when she didn't realize the YouTube and and your face in that moment, I was like, Katie's got to be done at this point.
The Bob Ross thing. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, dating was a bit of a stretch. I think we hung out a little bit more, but it was very casual. But yeah, no, I mean, it didn't really take off.
It's just like her nannying for Sheena or dating Schwartz, or, I mean, she seemed like she might want to get in the mix as well.
I mean, she'd been in the mix for a while. That's how I met her, but you know.
Yeah.
Were you really interested in her, or was it more about kind of taking her from shorts? Like, did you take some pleasure in that?
No, I mean, I it would have been better if he was just, I thought he was with Joe. That's the thing. Like, I didn't know.
Joe thought so too.
I mean, yeah, by the time I had sex on there, found out that her and Schwartz were like maybe talking, I had already like talked to her, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna like be like, oh, just kidding, never mind, just because maybe him and, you know, him and Tori had been talking. I was like, well, this is unfortunate, but oh well.
Well, no, it wasn't unfortunate. Max Boyens was pretty hot. So I'm curious, did that happen more than once?
Not really.
That's either yes or no.
No, I know. I mean, it's kind of confusing. Like, not really, I know.
So
no.
Yeah.
So it was one time. Was it more revenge related, or were you attracted to him?
I mean, Max is an attractive guy. Like, we can all look at him and be like, yeah.
Objectively, he's attractive.
Objectively, yes, he is attractive. And it was not a revenge thing. It was just like, I'm not going to like care about what Tom thinks in this moment.
Were you just
I wasn't caring about what anybody thought in that moment, which is unfortunate for people that I really do care about how they feel.
Right. How do you feel about how many people's location do you have on your phone?
Zero. I don't.
That's what I was going to ask you. Does Sheena still track everyone? Does she still know where everyone is?
Yeah, I think she said that she got more people's location since. Like, more people share their location with her since then, which is crazy.
Do you share your location with her?
No. I don't share. Like, the only time I share my location is if like I'm like traveling with somebody and it's like a safety thing of like, but I do it so it expires.
Yeah, like the 36 hours or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Teddy, do you share your location with Sheena?
No, but I will after the pod and see if she accepts it. No, but I think Sheena's annoyed at me because she sent me a text a while back. So I think it might be a while before she cares where I am or what I'm doing.
Oh, did you piss her off already?
Yeah, I tend to do that, but I think she'll come back around. One other thing about Sheena before we get into Lala. There was a thing between Sheena and Jax where Jax, I think, was so inappropriate by saying, you know, Sheena, you know,
shaming,
the mom shaming, all that stuff. But Sheena said, she alluded to the fact that pasta doesn't actually mean pasta. We've now heard this rumor for years. Is pasta freaking pasta, or is pasta extracurricular activities? Please set me straight.
Pasta is pasta. It's 100% pasta. I just think she was looking I don't know. I think she wanted to say something else and didn't have another word, and I think she wanted to send a message, and
so she used pasta.
Kind of like the Apple song. Were you really sick that you didn't go to the video? Because you didn't look sick. You looked really pretty.
I'm sick.
No, I was so sick for like dates.
Okay.
There was something that went around. It went around through our entire cast, our entire crew. Like it touched everybody.
Okay.
I think I got it from Tori.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Well, she was making out with some people, so that makes sense. But I do have to give Katie props. I was once at a location with Katie, and there was the hottest guy we have probably ever seen. And this guy did a beeline to Katie, and she was so cool and so laid back. And I just saw him like eating out of her fingers. Like, what do you think it is about you that just like, cause you didn't make any effort.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think it is? Like, do you give an eye, like for listeners that want to bring a dude in or bring a chick in, like what is your move?
I hear when people say the confidence, because it's like, what does that even mean? I think it's just sort of eye contact and like kind of holding that a little bit.
No, you know, I'll tell you what it is, because Katie has a very cool aloofness to her. She's very aloof. And I feel like that makes men interested.
But I don't know if aloof is the right word.
But it's like a confident aloof.
Well, yeah, you're not trying to like get attention.
She's not trying too hard.
Yeah, like you're not going into the club like, look at me. You're just standing there. And then so you're holding your gaze longer than that 2 seconds.
Oh, I see. Teddy wants actual specifics here.
Yeah, we're training.
Like if you see somebody, like get their like attention, but not in a showy way. Like just try to get some eye contact. maybe a few times, but don't try to like make a scene out of it. Just kind of like hang out with your friend, do your thing, and then it just eventually they come.
They all come. Okay, can you talk to us about Lala? Okay, because there was a bunch of Lala this season. There was some pretty like volatile moments, you know, in the past where you two have butted heads. But then Lala has said at the reunion, grossed her out because people were fraudulent. Who do you believe she was talking about in that moment?
I don't know if I can say because I don't want to give anything away.
Can you tell if male or female?
Female.
Does it rhyme with Schmady? Or Mariana?
That's really good. Very covert, Teddy.
Because we saw, okay, we can narrow it down. If it's female and it's a full-time cast member, female full-time cast member. She was just with Sheena at Coachella, so it's either got to be you or Ariana. But you have been unfollowed, and so is Ariana, because she wanted to even out her count on Instagram. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But you stay following. Are you an unfollower or blocker in general?
I'm not an unfollower or blocker. I just pay people with dust. I just don't. I might mute them if I don't want to like look at what they're posting, if it's bugging me. But I feel like the unfollowing and the block, it feels so like
a juvenile.
Yeah. And then it's like, what if you like make up, then you're like gotta do like the refollow it with it, you know. It's just, I don't know, just
plus it's so interesting to me that social media follows that stuff so closely. So like if you unfollow each other or block each other or unfollow and refollow, they write stories about it. And so that's why it's easier not to do it than you don't put the energy out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you were just at her gender reveal. So now I'm confused again.
I am as well.
Okay. All right. Glad we're all in a state.
Glad that was cleared up.
So you're confused as well. This is not to be shady. I know you're about out of time. I'm looking at the background of your room. It looks very clean.
This is like my spare bedroom. So where like I keep my shoes.
Okay, but it's so organized.
I don't sleep next to my shoes.
Okay, but it appears to me that Schwartz, Sandoval, and Ariana are very messy individuals. And for someone with OCD, that causes me stress.
I definitely like am somebody that will like let a little bit of like clutter happen, but I like that. I like it feels like a little bit like lived in. But no, like I'm way more tidy.
Do you leave chicken satay on your bedside table?
Can you admit that Ariana might be a little sloppy?
No, I think what I think that is about is like it really just shows kind of like how the living situation, like she's truly like living just solely in that bedroom. Like she's not living amongst like the rest of the home. She's not like the kitchen is not somewhere that she's like hanging out in. She's not eating in her kitchen. She's not living in her living room. She's really just in that bedroom.
Yeah. Do you watch The Valley?
I have been. I don't know if I've like seen like every single episode, but I watched the other night. Yeah.
Who do you enjoy on that show the most?
I mean, I love Janet and Jason on there. I think they're great. And I mean, I know them. I feel like I don't know everybody like super well, but I've been acquainted with everybody to some degree.
What do you think about Jesse?
Jesse won me over this episode.
How?
Because Michelle is a cheater, pumpkin eater. And like, that's fine. Admit it from the beginning. Don't lead us on that he's solely an asshole. I want to know at the beginning.
Oh no, he's still, I don't know.
And I need to know if it was Quentin Tarantino or Michael Bay. I don't want to see the blurb out. Do you know, Katie?
I don't know, but now I want to find out.
All right. Can you get on the horn about that?
Can you find that out for us?
Yeah, well, now that I didn't know any of this when it was going on, but like now that I know that there's like some kind of something, I need to like
Yeah, you got to catch up now.
Okay. Can we play F, Marry, Kill?
Sure.
Or it doesn't have to be kill. It could be
maim.
Maim. Whatever. Jax, Joe, and Sandoval.
F, Marry, Kill?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, you have to pick. It's just, you can pick two, Emily.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Well,
oh my God, this is brutal.
I would marry Jax because I find him amusing, but we would end up divorced after like 6 weeks. No joke. F Sandoval, kill Joe.
Who has the most money of this group, of those three?
Oh, that's who you want to marry?
Well, I've got to figure it out some way. I mean, this.
Well, Jax has a lot of cameos to do.
Okay, yeah, he does a lot more than me. All right, Katie, you gotta go.
Oh my God, I this is terrible.
I know.
She wants to kill them all.
I want to kill them all. I don't. But I'm trying to be like, okay, who am I gonna make?
The killing is the easy one.
Yeah, I mean,
like any of them can go. Well, yeah, I could marry Jackson and just divorce him. I don't even have to have sex with him.
There you go.
I mean, Brandy's not.
Yeah, I guess I could fuck Joe because you know,
really?
Well, it's between Joe and Sandoval at this point, so she's got to go with Joe.
I mean, it wouldn't be great for you to Sandoval at this point. Like, I feel like that would cause a lot of drama for you on the show.
Yeah, she has to kill him. That's the only option.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was.
She's disturbed now.
We like to end on a really positive note.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to sit with me all day or anything.
Is there anything you want to tease that's coming up or anything else you want to talk about before you have to go?
I feel like I'm not over that last
thing. she needs therapy now.
So I have a podcast with Dana called Disrespectfully. We have new episodes out every Wednesday. Wherever you listen to podcasts or you can watch on YouTube. It's really fun. We talk about sex, relationships, everything just that comes to mind. It's wild. We have a good time.
All right. Well, you guys should definitely tune in because it's super entertaining. And the final is, did you know ahead of Ariana doing Dancing with the Stars that she was doing Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I think you just lied to me.
No, I didn't.
Do you think Sheena is over that Ariana was on Dancing with the Stars?
I think by now she is.
By now? Okay.
Now she's upset about Chicago. Just
kidding.
Poor Sheena.
And Ariana even went into something about her and did that whole promo with Derek Huff, and I didn't even know about that. Like, so she really kept it a secret.
All right. Well, I mean, it is a big NDA and you don't want to lose a job like that. Yeah, so I can actually believe you on that. Do we have any other dude action or female action with you that we're going to see play out through this season?
No.
We had a dry spell.
She's hopelessly alone the rest of the season.
Yeah. I'm optimistically alone.
Optimistically alone. I like that.
She's aloofly
alone.
Listen, for the options, I feel like it's better to wait it out, especially for F, Mary Killer, Jax, Jackson.
I want to know who the hot guy is that came up to her.
Oh my gosh.
Is she not an option, Katie?
No, I mean, he was an option that night. I'll tell you that much. but no, I mean, like it wasn't like something that was going to like
go anywhere, but it needed to go somewhere that night because entire club we were all like,
yeah, no, he was fine.
I need a photo.
Are you a kid person? No, I'm not saying do you want to have kids, but are you a kid person in general? Because when I saw you and Lala having that discussion where Lala was feeling hurt and Emily and I had a discussion about kids, like some people just don't want to be around other people's kids all the time, and that is completely fine.
I think like generally, yeah, I do. I like kids most of the time. Some kids are annoying, but yeah. No, like 95% of the time, I really like kids.
Okay. then that makes, you know, but you, on your free time, I think it makes sense if you don't have kids that you don't necessarily want to do
things. Hang out with people who have kids.
I like all my friends' kids. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we just didn't know. All right. But yeah. Okay. Well, we're excited to keep watching and see what happens. You guys got a lot of episodes this season, and I'm looking forward to the reunion, and I'm going to stay on track of the who's following who.
Yeah, we're on it.
Can you do me a favor? Can you just like all of her posts?
Like whose posts? Who do you want her to like?
Anyone that unfollows her. If she likes them, then there's the stories are going to keep going.
So you want her to sit around and just like people's posts that have unfollowed
her?
She
could do it in 2 seconds right now. Just go through and like the last 10 posts.
Like, I don't have anything better to do.
No, cool. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks, guys, for joining us today on Popping Off. And thank you to Katie Maloney for joining us today. It's a juicy episode.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.